in religious instincts in the full dimensions of human culture, rather than the technocratic husk, that are important and have to be reaffirmed. If we look upon our presidents as colorless managers and develop alternative systems for cultural regeneration, then we have ways of creating new institutions that aren't weighed down with institutional inertia, unquote. Then Richard Needham says, in the Harper's article, Dr. Thompson persuasively argues that the great corporations of present-day North America are more likely to destroy themselves than to destroy the individual. Ralph Nader, doing his own thing, has more of a future than General Motors. All tied up with its power, General Motors is all tied up with its power and money and bureaucracy and its quasi-obsolete product, the automobile. The individual, like Nader, becomes an institution in himself. How? By walking out of and away from the top-heavy corporate institutions. For example, and he references Alan Watts, Herman Kahn, Ivan Illich, Andy Warhol, Buckminster Fuller. Dr. Thompson's point, says Needham, has great force in a profession about which I know a little, the profession of teaching. I meet a lot of young and not-so-young teachers who know that the present school and university system can no longer educate people, if indeed it ever did. Many of them went into teaching in hopes of changing, quote, the system, unquote. But there's no way to do that. They can only get out of it, in brackets, as many are doing and many hoping to do, and set up schools of their own. This is something I've found, and this is what Thompson did. This is something I've found very often in my own life, says Needham. The only way out of the problem is quite literally the way out, the door marked exit. Walk away from the damn thing and make a fresh start, which in effect is what most Torontonians did at some point in their lives. They got out of the maritime problem, the British problem, the German problem, the American problem, etc., and began all over. Hence Toronto's wealth, energy, and vitality. Dr. Thompson points out that to work for change within a high school, a university, a political party, a governmental agency, is to be facing in the wrong historical direction, like operating on a corpse, is the way I would put it. But here is how Thompson puts it. So then there's a long quote. Thompson says, universities, revolutions, and government agencies are filled with experts, and experts are right only about what has been and what can be. Expert mathematicians prove with an elegant formula that no machine could ever fly. But two bicycle repairmen went into the air anyway. The imaginative individual leaves the universities and the government agencies behind to move out into a new space. But the leftist radical stays behind. Like a guilt-ridden Samson, he is attracted to the Philistines and can mask only his guilt by bringing the whole thing down on top of himself. The imaginative individual must walk out because he wishes to create new things rather than destroy old ones. The man who shoots horses, that was a movie that came out around then, the man who shoots horses as a way of changing agrarian society does not invent automobiles. The man who bombs refineries as a way of changing automotive society does not design cities in which cars are unnecessary. End of quote. So then Needham says, I find this line of thought most exciting, and I'd hope that young people with lives yet to shape would find it even more so. But how many Canadians and Americans, young or old, have the courage to walk through that door marked exit? How many are willing to abandon the comfort and security in brackets, in quotes, of the organizational bosom? I'll reflect further on this tomorrow. So McLuhan had that in his collection, that article. He was aware of the Thompson, of the Needham article. So how do I find Thompson's stuff? Try this. Go back.
Bob, that was Akito calling you on Skype.
Oh, yeah. Do I have to do something? Bill has to do that. What am I supposed to do?
I think Bill did it last week. Clicked him in.
Yeah, well, Bill's got to do it every week. So, Akito, keep doing it. Now we know what it is, and hopefully you'll get in. I don't know why he got in last week. Why doesn't he get in? What does Bill have to do? Okay, so we were looking at posts. So Thompson made a... When I posted that, he didn't say anything. But then when I posted that letter... Well, I'm not sure. Where can I find it? Yeah, like, anybody know how to get around the Facebook page? Is anybody at the Thompson page? Can you show me where you what you click on to get stuff posts?
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed I had to take my page down. But I think you can just look in the search bar, type it in.
Oh, okay, try the search bar. So I want what?
Just type in...
McLuhan?
Is it McLuhan Page you're looking for?
No. What
Thompson,
he said,
right?
To my post.
I'll look the what? Thompson group. William Irwin Thompson group.
Yeah. Well, different things show up, but not what I'm looking for.
You should have on the left-hand side of your screen, no matter where you are on Facebook.
No,
I figured out
how to do it. I go to my own inbox, and, you know, it tells you what people have commented on. I scroll down and find him. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so try this one. Yeah, that's the latest one. And the bar on the right is really crummy for doing this. I don't know what's wrong with Facebook. They don't.
That's what chat search.
There it is, Bill. Let Akito in. Whatever he's supposed to do. Bill, why don't you acknowledge us? Why don't you talk to us? Tell us what's going on. Tell Akito what to do. So I'm going through the Thompson point.
Bill has a really good page, or did, on Achieve of different ways, like different call in.
Well, come on here and tell Akito what to do.
Right. I'm just saying it might be worth Akito's time to look into another option.
He doesn't have another option.
Okay.
So it's trying to find the Thompson thing. Some reason it's not coming up. Well, Thompson says something like, McLuhan being a celebrity doesn't respond. But he has a nice way of saying it, which wish I could bring up.
I see it, Bob.
Yeah, where do you see it? How do you get there?
What it is, I went into the search and typed William Irwin Thompson, and I clicked on it, and the headline has looking over 13,000 items I got from the McLuhan Archives, what you posted with this letter. If you just go into the search and type in William Irwin Thompson, his picture will come up, and if you click on it, you'll see your what you posted.
Okay, I'm going into his Facebook.
Bob, why don't you unmute Allison?
Allison, okay.
This is Allison?
No, it's Kirsta. Unless Allison is under anonymous. So everybody's unmuted. I'm trying to get to Thompson. See, my internet's not working, Bill. Bert. Just a second. I have to go through other things.
Just send him a link, Bert.
Not sure if this link will come through because it's quite a long one, but I will.
Or if you guys are friends on Facebook, maybe message them on Facebook the link. So hard to get links out of the chat room on Achieve.
Yeah, it is. I just posted it, but it's a long one.
Okay, I finally got there at the right. There's several Facebook pages for him. So what I type in under search, and right now there is no search. It doesn't show it.
Oh, wow.
Where does one search?
At the top.
Top now. And message.
At the top left. Yeah.
Top left?
Top left. It says there's a F, and then there's a space with the search icon.
Okay, so here's what one sees. You see at the top, the cultural evolution of the sense of the sacred beyond religion, an essay in red. You see that at the top?
When I go back to pages, oh, wow. When I type in, I see William Irma Thompson pages, and then I say people, and there's two different William Irma, then it says posts from friends, and I see your post. It comes up when I go back to how I found your post.
Okay, so what? There's two sites. Which site are you looking at? The cultural evolution of the sense of sacred beyond religion is the top item. It's his picture beside his photo. You see that?
Beyond religion, cultural evolution of sense of sacred.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, where do I go from there?
Wow, that's. Yeah, that's. No, don't. No. I got it from a different path. If you type. I typed in William Irma Thompson, and he had his pictures, and then I scroll down, and I see posts from friends, and it says Bob Dobbs, William Irma Thompson, September 28th.
Yeah, but what you say you typed in Thompson, where do you
at the top. At the top in the search button.
Yeah, when you're looking
I
for
typed
site.
In, right, I looked in, typed in his name, and when I type in his name, there's something called a title called Pages, and it has William Irma Thompson, Portland, Maine. And then it comes down to people, and there are two William Irma Thompsons, the one that we're talking about and some other guy in from Wellington College. And then I scroll down more, and it says Post from Friends. And the Post from Friends, the first thing that comes up is your post. So if you go into the search, but you don't have a search,
okay,
right?
Okay, let's go and do this slowly. The very top under
okay.
Whatever this is, William Irma Thompson's picture. Then the next one says Pages. Well, it says People, William Irma Thompson. Then it says Pages, William Irma Thompson. 192 like this. Then it says
scroll
William
down.
Irma Thompson. What? Scroll down past the owner
scroll
at
down.
The Kennewin something, Wellington College. Then you get to another William Irma Thompson. And it says the evangelicals came to my front door. You see that?
No, I have a different my setup because you have see all, so you're seeing all.
Oh, okay,
the,
I
the
see.
Weird.
Okay,
Tom.
Further down, it even
yes.
has your name there. So, two comments. Let's see. I click on that.
Yes, it.
Okay, that worked. So he says, Yeah, so I posted, well, he didn't react to the Needham article. But then that letter about Frank Zangroni, October 68, where he says, let's share, get together and share apocalyptic visions, he writes in there, as one would expect from such a celebrity, McLuhan did not answer my letter. So then I said, well, you wrote one more, a third letter. And then I asked him, would this be your goodbye in spring 1973? So it's a short note, and he writes, too small to read. And then I say, so then I typed out what he wrote. So he wrote in around 73, quote, dear Marshall, sorry to be leaving your good city. Hope to see you sometime down here. With best wishes, William I. Thompson. So because I wrote that out, he wrote, many thanks. That's the first time Thompson, the whole point of this exercise is to brag. It's the first time fucking Thompson thanked me in 25 years since I last was with him in the Cathedral St. John Divine in 93 to 97.
All right, well, he should be publicly shamed.
Yes, thanking Bob, of all people. I'm not responsible for what I do. It's, something else caused it. So that's interesting. If I could just remember how you get here, that shows you the post. So you put in William Irwin Thompson, scroll down, and you eventually see this, right? These responses.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so sorry that we got all that stuff. So as you scroll down, regular Ionettes are on there, you know, liking stuff he posts. You've got you there, Bert. You've got Roxy on there. You've got a few other people regularly dropping into Thompson. And hopefully he doesn't know, like Alex Kuskus suspected, this is my gang and we're fucking surrounding Thompson. You know, I was expelled for Thompson perceiving that. Okay, so Krista has sent a link, looking over her link. She sent me access to something, this very thing that you found, Bert. Okay, so is that you? What's his name? Brian.
I just unmuted myself, yep.
Okay, Brian, that's a very good quote you found from GLOW. Back
sure.
In 2002. Now, where is that? We should post that. And we should read that.
It's on the excerpt, but the link to the original is on the, and the excerpt are on the Students of Bond.
What are you doing, man? Do you, you got water running? What's all that?
Oh, I'm in the big complex of dozens of galleries down at Richmond and Spadina. With hundreds of people. I should come back here later when there's fewer people here. Doing
all
the
right,
art
yeah,
crawl
so
thing.
You're doing the Black Knight, the Nuit Blanche or White Knight or what's it called?
Yeah, Nuit Blanche.
Which means
I think
White
this
Knight.
Year. Yeah, I think this year Toronto finally managed to not be the only city in the world whose Nuit Blanche official title had a corporate name in it. Like everywhere else was just Paris, Nuit Blanche. Here was like Toronto, Scotiabank, Nuit Blanche. But
it doesn't have the city. It doesn't have the city name.
No, and they sold it to a corporation instead. But not this year. They did in past years. It was corporate branding on the art festival, unlike festivals in other cities. But I didn't notice that branding this year. So maybe they. Maybe they listen to all the complaints.
Right, you got to get to a quieter place. So
yeah.
So you're saying so people, Toronto has this all night long art gallery crawl once a year called Nuit Blanche. And,
well, I'm
Brian,
not jealous.
What?
No, I'm. I said I'm not jealous, but I absolutely am. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, you said something. I'm not jealous, blah, 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 welcome. What was the blah, 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 welcome?
I guess you'll always wonder that.
I'm going to mute you. You just caused irritation. Okay, so let's see. What are we doing here? So Nuit Blanche, I didn't know, is in other cities in the world. Goes around Western civilization or something. You can unmute me.
It's not like a traveling show. It's just different. It's a thing that different cities have done. I guess it originally was a French thing or a Paris thing, and that other city started copying. I thought it was cool. Wow, yeah, there's like a big stream of people coming in.
You got to mute, Brian. Okay, so you're saying that they always had the name Toronto with it, Toronto Nuit Blanche. Now they don't have the word Toronto on it. Is that what you just said?
No, I was saying that in the past, Toronto was the only one that had that sold corporate rights to the naming, so that they always had to refer to it as Scotiabank Nuit Blanche instead of just Nuit Blanche. But they took that off this year.
Okay, so you're out doing that, and I'm going to find your post about GLOW. I'm looking for history.
Students of Bob.
Oh, it's in Students of Bob. Okay. All right. So what happened is in 2002, some of you know that I was talking to GLOW in England. Carol and I get on the phone, and we'd Skype, I guess it was, and she would get charades from the ghost of McLuhan, Zappa, James Joyce, and once or twice Wyndham Lewis. But mainly it was Zappa, Joyce, and McLuhan. So he found...
I feel like I need to interrupt real quick. Ion said that she was... That's blasphemy. That she was not... I'm just want to throw that in. Anytime GLOW's brought up around Ion, they go on about how she's not real.
That's right, right. Well... that's interesting, but Brian found this sequence, October 10th, 2002. Did you find this on the Five Bodied site? I mean, I post a lot of transcripts on Five Bodied. Is that where you found this, Brian?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's on. There's a thread on Five Bodied called GLOW Archive.
Right. Okay, so the transcript has GLOW saying she's called Chandler. GLOW says, there's a table in front of him, Zappa, McLuhan, or George.
That was McLuhan.
All right. There's a table in front of McLuhan. This is what she's seeing. He presses a black dot with his finger. Then GLOW says, he holds his finger up and rubs his two fingers together after, you know, pressing the black dot. Then he has stuck his fingers together. And then Frank says, not again. Then Frank pulls out a hammer. McLuhan hides his hands. Frank pulls out a saw. McLuhan shakes his head, I assume a no. Frank pulls out a bottle with magic potion written on it. McLuhan nods and relaxes. McLuhan holds out his hand. Frank takes the stopper out of the bottle and carefully puts a couple of drops onto his fingers. McLuhan pulls his fingers apart and is smiling. GLOW says finger sticking is worse than writer's block.
That's true.
I don't like sticky fingers. Finger sticking is worse than writer's block. Then GLOW says that McLuhan says, so McLuhan says, now I have my finger. I can point at you guys, he says, smiling. Then I say, I understand. We have fused our media with ourselves, and we can't stand back. So we're using Chandler's talents to get a perspective on the solution to drop on people. That's what I said. I think that's us typing, or Carolyn's typing it. We were typing back and forth. I understand. We have fused our media with ourselves, mm-hmm. Which is what we were talking with Bert about, and we can't stand back, so we are using Chandler's talents to get a perspective on the solution to drop on people. I guess Brian is pointing out that there's a lot of punning on RNA drops here. What do you think of that, Carolyn Grunts? What do you think of that, Carolyn?
Not a Premonition, I've heard you tell a story about McLuhan, and he puts his hand in the air and it just stays there, or he like hold. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bob?
Nope.
Okay, I'll try to figure it out.
he put his hand in the air and it stayed there. Is it one of these scenarios that Glow saw?
No. This was a true story that you were telling about him. It may even have been something you read.
Oh, yeah. When his brain spasms, he would do the Dr. Strangelove salute in the middle of talking to his kids. He'd be doing the Nazi salute, and he might go on for 5 or 10 minutes, scare all the students, because they're just watching him, don't know what he's doing. And then he would come out of it, his arm would come down, and he'd pick up his sentence right where he left off after a 5-minute gap of being frozen.
I mean, it's funny because stuff like that happens to me. I get kind of...
Did you say it's not like it happens to you?
It's funny because I know what it feels like.
Prepositions, for God's sakes. When you're a good listener, you listen carefully. I am not making up what I'm pretending to hear you say. I'm hearing exactly what you say, and you're mumbling the key fucking prepositions. So what did you say? Move your mic way far away from you. Look, now you fucking hang up, you dummy. What the fuck? You know,
you hang up. I can't remember what I said.
No, we're talking
about
hand.
It's funny because I can relate to it.
Why? Why can you relate to it?
Because that happens to me, but I've never heard about what other people feel like when it happens in front of them. And to hear that the students were just like, what? And then he goes right back into it.
Mumble, mumble, mumble. Who knows what the fuck you're saying? Does anybody else know what
you're saying? I think pretty much everybody except for you knows what I'm saying.
Well, I got a lousy phone, okay? My phone may not be perfect. But I'm the only one who's fucking listening to you. So you gotta adapt your voice to me. So what did you say there? Speak slower.
I'm just going to take an hour off and listen.
Wait. Fuck that shit. Fuck. Just enunciate clearly. What was it about the hand? Okay, McLuhan held his hand, right?
I just wanted to know if that was a true story or a premonition.
It was a true story. It's in the biographies. Now, I asked Ion. See, everybody thought McLuhan was getting sick, and I asked McLuhan through Ion what was going on. He said he was doing that to get attention, to get them to pay attention to what he was saying. It was a trick. Everybody thought he was a brain fart or brain fog or brain paralysis. No, he was being a clever teacher. That's what he told me. All right? You won't see that in you got the famous guy who coined the phrase Generation X, Douglas Copeland, a Canadian writer, who was forced to do a book on McLuhan, didn't know anything about McLuhan. And McLuhan I was talking to McLuhan around 2010 when the book came out. McLuhan was very pissed off at this Douglas Copeland and his stupid book, because the Copeland's approach was that McLuhan was autistic and had severe brain damage. This is how Copeland explained McLuhan's sort of different kind of thinking.
Wow.
Boy, that's pretty bad. And, of course, I corrected the record, but nobody paid any attention to me. And when I showed up 6 years later, they fired me. Just like at any whistleblower destiny.
Just like Nate did to me.
Yeah. May Brussel did to you?
No, Nate.
Who? Oh, Nate. Who's Nate? Oh, that's
the guy that
Alyssa
is married to but doesn't live with or whatever.
Ex-husband. They ain't married anymore. They split.
Yeah, well, okay. He fired me, and that's why I haven't been on the show for several months.
Well, how did he fire you? Well, how did that happen?
He just said, step into my office, you're fired.
So you just said, you second in my office, they got fired. See, that's what I heard. You second in my office, and fired.
He said, step into my office, Sarah. Then he put his hand up, he made it bend right, he put his fingers forward, and he said, you're fired.
Yeah, he typed that, and you followed orders. You left the building.
It was very confusing. That's all I knew to do.
Why would you listen to what a guy types in a chat line?
No, he said it out loud. When we called the Max company and I asked them, could they make gift bags for the refugees? Yeah, that was inappropriate.
Okay, just talk slowly. You were on the air with him?
Yes, and you, and I believe Nadia, and we called MAC Makeup
and I believe
Company.
Nadia. Okay, yeah, my Nadia, yeah. And then
what? And it was like, we're just going to call them and say words and see what happens. And it was like right in the...
I don't know. You know what she said? No. Not new people can make a... So it's not just my phone, right, Bert? She's blurry to everybody.
Right.
You're blurry
down,
to everybody, Sarah.
Slow down.
Fix your fucking mic. Move the mic away from your phone. Put it on your head.
Slow down, Sarah. Just take a couple deep breaths, slow down, and talk relaxed.
Yeah, enunciate clearly. Slowly. Talk slower than you can think.
That's like asking me to fundamentally change myself.
Yeah, well, we're asking that. That's what the Christian mission is. The Christianity is here to change people. I'm quoting McLuhan, but I haven't got the quote right here.
And actually, that makes you crazy because you keep trying to get me to do that, and it never works.
It will. I'm very patient.
Yes, and I'm very young, so...
Now you're what? You're very, I'm soft?
I'm very young. I'm very young, and I have plenty of time to learn how to speak slower.
Ah, that's good talk.
Yay.
That was good. Was that Roxy? Did you actually wake up Roxy?
No, that's my mom voice. That's how I teach
Roxy
Noah.
Doing your mother? You don't have a mother.
That's the
about?
Voice I use when I'm teaching Noah about something that I feel is important information.
Yeah. Well, start regarding me as Noah, that this is an important communication environment.
Can do.
Come on. Anything to get you clear. Okay, so... Okay,
what
so we lost our point. Something about McLuhan's hand and something else about you. I don't know. I've got patience in the long run, but not every show. I always end up muting you, right? So I got short-term no patience, but long-term
patience.
Yeah,
it's kind of our stick, Bob.
I'm a stick?
Our stick, you and I, is that I speak rapidly. And you mute me.
That's right. Well said. That was clear. You got to keep this
thank
up.
You.
It's amazing hearing you. Yes, thank you. Say you speak a little slower. That's good. Now, make another sentence. Tell me what you were trying to tell me 5 years ago. Let's go back to all this shit you fucking mumbled and start over again. Let's hear it again.
Is New Finland spelled N-E-W? F-O-U-N-D-L-A-N-D.
Yes. I thought you say Newfoundland. You're saying Newfoundland.
I did.
Pronounced Newfoundland. 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 Yes.
Thank you, Bob.
Newfoundland. Look how slow her voice is. Everybody digging it? Thank you, Bob. She sounds like a robot.
It's called going neutral.
Okay, well, that was a question you had 5 years ago, the spelling of Newfoundland?
Correct. As well as the pronunciation.
Okay, next question. Let's go to September 2013. What did you say on that show that we didn't get?
Remember September 13th. I have no idea.
Okay, try October 14th, 2014.
I don't know. Is that Prince Charles' birthday?
Just use your memory. Yeah, somebody's birthday. That's right. Don Thiel and Gerd Stern were born on the 12th and 13th of October. It also is Harold Channer's special day, October 12th.
Ooh.
Hey, you like that sound? He went, ooh.
You did not answer my question. Is that Prince Charles' birthday?
I don't know. You want me to look it up? Check. I'm real fast with this Google stuff.
Yes, Bob. Could you please Google
real
that?
Fast. Yeah. Prince Charles. Yeah, P-R-I-N-C-E. N-C-E, Charles. Click. Bang. He was born on November 14th, not October 12th, November 14th, 4 days away from a significant date, November 18th, Wyndham Lewis's birthday. This is the way my mind works. It all goes up against the greats. Whatever it is, any fact, we compare it to the locust in the closest holy office. So the significance of Charles's birthday is it's 4 days from Wyndham Lewis's. If you ever see him, tell him that. Congratulations,
oh,
you're
I'll
all born on Wyndham Lewis's birthday. All right. Shall we have finished the Thompson thing. Thompson said many thanks to me. All right.
Yeah.
Now, I want to interview Bert and Brian about what they have to say, since they haven't been here, about matters they presented. Like, Brian, you mentioned...
week.
What?
I was here last week.
Oh, was it 2 weeks ago you missed? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, you pointed something else on. You translated something. Some good post. Oh, the friction thing. You had a statement about the friction thing, Brian. Maybe Brian can't talk.
Bob, can you unmute Gene?
I'm listening to a very trashy punk band on the roof.
Hey, Jesus Christ, Brian. You're trying to mix two media, my important daily festival and a fucking annual thing. You got to make a choice. Go, you know, these galleries can't be that important. So you got to go to a quiet place, Brian. If you're going to hang out there for a while, we'll talk in a couple hours. All right? When you get to a quiet place.
I'll be in a quieter place pretty soon.
Okay. Sounds like an astronaut. Okay. Bert, do you have anything you want to say about the wonderful stuff you've processed?
Yes, the question. Bob, what would you say right now as far as, like, in comparison to McLuhan's statement that every 12 months we live 200 years, and that was in the analog media. What would you say we're experiencing now as far as, like, what, 200 years every week or 2 months? How
we're
would you
the
say
time,
right?
The non-time. Since Ion put the world into non-time, that's why you got sinkholes and collapse of matter. All the old solid marker points. But what I did tell you that I already answered that we already disappeared. We're not here to experience time anymore. That's what I said an hour ago, right?
Okay, yes.
Flesh
I didn't know that was the answer.
Flesh has been scraped off the planet. Yeah, my answer was that we wouldn't measure how long humans' life has sped up, like 200 years every 12 months, because there's no humans anymore. All right, so that's over. We ain't and McLuhan called it Planet of the Dead in the 70s. He was right up on this stuff, you know, Planet of the Dead. Years after he mentioned the 200-year thing about 1970, 71. Then by the middle of the 70s, he's saying Planet of the Dead. And then he's saying he's apocalyptic, like Bill Thompson says. Let's share apocalyptic visions. That's interesting that Thompson, as a young, precocious professor, saw McLuhan as an apocalyptic. That was accurate. McLuhan didn't really say he was apocalyptic till 1977 when he was asked if he was a pessimist or an optimist. He said, neither. I'm an apocalyptic. And he has, and I have an article somewhere, some item, where he says, apocalypse is our only hope. How about that? That would mean that there was still something to be done. There was still human potential, you know? Apocalypse, that would be dramatic. So we were dead for 30 years, no humans, but Bob and Carol, thanks to the D-cell, managed to retrieve themselves or never got zapped, don't know which it is, and we show up in 1995 to say, well, we made it back, we're the first here, you are welcome to join us if you take the D-cell, and support the cold fusion, Pons and Fleischmann project. That was what Up the Orphic Ante ended on in 1995. And that was prophetic. 14 years later, Ion showed up, and then we got a better version of the D-cell, the I-block. So that's the miracle. And Ion is no time. There's no, there's a total transformation of being here with Ion. And so people are got more and more scattered since 2009 and more confused and more whatever, more fucked up. And then a timeless entity from Louis XIV's court named President Trump showed up, and that wrecked everybody's feeling there was time.
That is taking place. That is.
Yeah. All right.
That
so
definitely is taking place.
Is that you have another question or a comment?
No, I'm processing that. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it was right before my nose. Just in processing everything that you've done that I've been listening to, that makes sense now. That,
okay.
We're reappearing. And that's
right.
Part of what this show is to help us be
reappear.
Able to deal with it, reappear.
I play music from all the decades to trigger you. Okay, song's going to get you off, you know, one of those songs. You just try everything. Throw everything in the kitchen sink, into the ear. And usually somebody likes something. And that sort of awakens them a little bit in a way. Raise them from the dead. Using music. Well, Susanna just barged in. I wonder if she has something to say.
Hello.
Hello.
I actually do want to comment about the post that you did about Socrates and sophism. And I thought it was very interesting that I'm looking it up now because I can't remember who.
Splicetoday.com, which is where
okay.
I get the Alan Cabal stuff, run by Mugger, who used to own and run the New York Press in New York City. Yeah, it's someone else, I don't have the name handy, did that. And I thought Roxy would like it because it had the picture that she's always quoting. Did you notice that,
right.
Roxy?
Yes.
If you're here. I don't know if Roxy is here.
Yeah, it was Socrates and the Limits of Dialectic. Is the name
yes.
of the article.
Who's the author?
Hold on. Let me go into it. One moment, please. Rhett Jenkins.
I don't know him. I haven't seen him as a writer there. Don't recognize that name. But since it's got that picture, assuming Roxy is here but can't unmute, by saying that, that'll force her to unmute. So she's not unmuting. So she's not here. So I want to bring her in and discuss it because that is the painting she's always referring to. She says it's every show she refers to, it's called The School of Athens by Raphael. And it shows Socrates, it shows Plato and Aristotle in the center. Not Socrates, that's Plato and Aristotle. And she says
yes.
Plato is Leonardo da Vinci and Aristotle is King Francis I. You got these two guys that had their faces put in there because they know Raphael and Leonardo da Vinci. They're all part of the same scene in like 1500 A.D. Did you know that before, Susanna?
No.
All right. That's what you're looking at. That's what she's always referring to. Let's see if we can get her.
Well, I
Go
wanted
ahead.
To make a comment that... That's interesting that there's a conversation here about the difference between the dialectic that Socrates used and then and I think I read somewhere, but I can't find it now, about how they were there's a comment in here that says about that comparing the two, that the sophist or the dialectic is what's going to save what you were just saying about the dialectic being individualistic, and that you said it in the video that Roxy just put out, and it says it here too about the dialectic is individual empowerment, and the sophists. Sophists were led to nation building that is leads to Armageddon. And you said that in the video, too. So I thought that was interesting.
Okay. I got Roxy. She fell asleep or something, so she didn't know we were doing her painting. So she's coming in right now. Now, could you just say the last sentence about the sophists? I have a lot to say about
the sophists. They're making a comparison between the sophists and the dialectic of Socrates, saying the latter was more nation-building than the dialectic, and that the latter would lead to Armageddon. And you said pretty much the same thing in the video that Roxy put out, the last one. Do you remember that?
I don't remember saying that, but let me say some things here. Maybe we'll wait till Roxy gets in. But this is a really key point in McLuhan land.
I was just hearing you say that in this conversation. That's what made me call in, because I was remembering this. You were just saying
What did I say? About apocalyptics?
Yeah, being apocalyptic. And nation
building. As opposed to a pessimist and an optimist. So looking up the article, I got to find it posted here. Just a second. Oh, by the way, are you looking at my Facebook page, Susanna? Are you on there, or you're not?
I am on mine, which you posted. I guess I get your posts.
Right, but so you can see. Did you notice the thing I just posted called "When You're Bad at Your Job"? Did you look at that footage of these accidents?
I haven't looked at that yet. I saw it, and I haven't seen the video
yet.
Yeah,
it's good.
Unbelievable.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Okay, so let's see if Roxy's come in yet. Are you there, Roxy?
We talked about that.
No, she's not. She doesn't seem to have come in yet.
That painting the night I called in, too, the painting with the woman with her hand up.
Yes,
that's
this
the
is the one.
Painting. Yeah.
Do you remember that conversation, Susanna?
That was about the hand with the M.
Yes. Do you remember that,
which
Susanna?
I have. What is that?
It's a hand with the marking M. It's an astral fucking UFO or something, you know. It's another dimensional person.
The
what
significance
mean,
of an M on one's hand.
I have made a lot out of it. It's important to have the M on your hand. I don't know. Maybe when you become a senator, the M shows up.
Maybe it doesn't matter because I have one anyway, so I shouldn't worry about it.
Well, you always have everything. You've always already been there, you fucking megalomaniac, unjustified, unqualified upstart. Is you.
I know.
You represent your whole damn generation.
I'm always taking my side. I'm always there.
Before you get
myself.
The Y generation. What? And no wonder. No, we won't say that. We won't say that. That would hurt. Now you want to know what I was going to say.
No, I don't. Because I'll authentically cry.
Okay. All right. Anonymous just came in. Okay. So are you there, Roxy? Come on. You're there, Roxy. He just came in. So did Jason from Barrie, Ontario, now living in Vancouver Island, I think. Okay, Roxy, you're speaking, but we're not hearing you. Check your mute or something, your mute button. That sounds like you. You're a little bit of rustle. Speak, Roxy.
Speak.
Am I on mute? No, I'm not on mute. The little red marker showing up, Roxy, showing that you're there and making noise. But we don't hear you.
Maybe it's not Roxy.
Well, whoever it is, they're making noises. The little red marker coming up, but we can't hear what they're saying.
I hear rustling. They're just not talking.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're rustling, Roxy. Sure, glad this show goes on for 12 fucking hours. We have time to fuck up like this. And now you even put up your hand twice. Yes, I see your hand, but we can't hear you. Roxy, there's something wrong with your phone. Check it. You're just not coming through. Oh, here comes another anonymous. Maybe that's Roxy. Is that you, Roxy?
No, it's somebody else, Bob.
Oh, who just said that?
Now, hi, Bob.
Hello, what's your name?
Hey, this is Brian in Neymar. How are you?
Where's Neymar?
Neymar. Burma.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy, the school teacher. We haven't heard from you in about a year.
Yeah, that's right. How are you, Bob?
Very good, but we're trying to establish a topic here. We're not going to give you priority. Roxy is talking away, and we don't hear her. So, Roxy, you got to fix your scene there.
Well, Bob, I can brag a bit. I'm the first RNA drop user in Burma. In Myanmar. I just had some drops.
No, but wait a minute, Brian. You don't go any further. You've been on the fucking drops for years. Why are you saying that?
I was the first person in China, the first person in Cambodia, and now the first person in Myanmar, Burma, to be on the drops or using the drops or have them sent here or shipped here.
Wow.
I see.
So I don't know how that's going to affect the Burmese people now that there's somebody on the drops in their country. Maybe that'll start a revolution or something. I know.
I'm talking to Roxy. She's on her Skype. We're trying to get her connected here. Just a second, Brian.
There she is. I heard her.
Hello?
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Bob, the jig is up. We know you let Roxy in. We know you let her in their house.
Mute fuckface here. What's her name, Sarah? Where is her number? just for transition, whatever her name is. We need a transition here. We want to get this topic going. Unless you don't say anything. Okay, Roxy, I'm hanging up. You're here. We're going to tell you what's going on. Roxy, they finally got to your topic because on my Facebook page, I posted an article. Are you listening, Roxy? Are you there?
Yes, about the dialectic.
Yes, have you seen it? Did you look at it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let me give Susanna some background. This, I don't know if I'm answering your question right away, but you need to have this background. This is the key scenario that McLuhan lays out in his PhD and articles from his PhD in the late 40s. And the main article is called An Ancient Quarrel in Modern America Between the Dialecticians and the Sophists. Okay, Susanna?
Yes, gotcha.
Yeah. Now, in the Western literate bias, Socrates was a good guy and the Sophists were bad because they sold their training to princes and leaders to exploit people for their personal profit. That's the public image of the Sophists. That's why you have that phrase, sophistry. It's a bad insult. You're engaging in sophistry. In other words, you're not sincere. You're not trying to transcend or ascend, and you're not sincerely trying to find out, know thyself, which is what everybody said about Socrates. He was a good guy, and the sophists were creeps. Well, what a shock it was back in the 50s or 60s when I read this article by McLuhan, and he's saying the sophists were the good guys. Can you imagine saying that?
Wow. Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, this is what you guys are so fucked up in your Western civilization bias. You don't even know McLuhan's saying this. But this is the first point to get, that the sophists had something to say and was very relevant to the new media environment of the 20th century. So when he says that the medium is the massage, your sensory and thoughts are massaged and altered, that is an environmental workover that the sophists addressed better than the dialecticians. The dialecticians ignored the environment and just were into self-new age ascension by analyzing the definitions of things and finding out that nobody knew what they were talking about. Not noticing what the sophist noticed, that the word was altering you despite your opinion of what the definitions were. Okay? So, in general, the world of... So, there's the trivium. The sophists are in the world of rhetoric, and the dialecticians are in the world of logic. All right?
So, right, right.
So, the god of rhetoric was Cicero. I think he's about 300 B.C., and he laid out the manual for lawyers and politicians and civic public people who had to persuade jerks to calm down and follow their war rather than the other guy's war. Okay, you get that? It was a tough time. Gang warfare all the time, right, back there. So the art of persuasion was really important to those jerks who wanted to have power. So they studied rhetoric, and one of the main schools in rhetoric was the sophists, S-O-P-H-I-S-T-S. Okay? You get that, Susanna?
Yeah.
And here is the sophists in the Senate trying to be good senators to persuade and become this new Caesar, right? With their great rhetorical skills. They're basically hypocrites from a Socrates' point of view. And what's Socrates doing? He's not trying to get into the Senate. He's going into the market and starting arguments with people. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is what the dialectician mm-hmm. did.
Mm-hmm.
He was a homeless nuisance. You know, people are trying to rabble rouse groups of mobs, and this guy's wandering around homeless and with his latest homosexual lover tagging along with him. And he say, buddy, what is virtue? So some up-and-coming senator wannabe would define what virtue was, and Socrates would proceed to slay him and say, you know nothing about fucking virtue. Look, we just
right. went
through argument, give-and-take argument. He'd make the guy end up that he didn't know anything. So in this article about the battle between the sophists and dialecticians, he cites the characteristics of impiety. And and Socrates confronts a guy who is taking his father to court for being impious, or something like that, right? Whatever impiety is. And so Socrates interrupts the guy on the way to the court and starts asking him, define impiety. And Socrates points out that he's accused of impiety, and he's on his way to being executed, okay? So when the senator guy is going to take his father to court for impiety, Socrates is on his way to being executed for being impious, and he has enough time and coolness to stop the senator, and he says, okay, buddy, what the hell is... Oh, Carol, I just saw a bird for the first time hit the window, and I was looking at the window. I saw it happen right at me. I saw Socrates.
Amazing. Congratulations, Bob.
That was incredible.
That's awesome.
Carol Clavin,
you always
was
right so...
in line of vision. It would come right at me. It was the same thing. Smash into the window.
Damn right.
You get very excited about that, Bob.
All right. Back to
we got to talk to Ian about this. We want to find out what this means immediately. Call Ian. Look, the bird standing there or sitting there kind of stunned. He's still alive, Carol.
Aww.
If you open the door, does he run?
That's good news.
Yeah, Carol's being very nice. He's slowly looking
What a marvelous omen.
What the fuck is this?
Mercy
I thought
killing.
That was a 40-foot wave. I was going to surf. It fucking turned into glass. Thanks.